So here we are. I don't know what you missed, because I don't know when the broadcast dropped off, so I'm going to start back from the top. I could not be more humbled today to be sharing the word that I'm about to share with you, and truly to have shared what I shared with you last Sunday. If you weren't here last Sunday, or you haven't heard a very special announcement that I delivered to us last week, a week and a half ago, Centerpoint received an anonymous gift to the tune of $2.7 million to relinquish our mortgage debt. And we came together last Sunday and we celebrated this news together because we know that moving forward, this is going to be a huge reality for the life of our church as we are able to refocus our energies on ministry to the world and to the community around us. And here's the thing is long before I knew that I was going to have that news to share with you, long before I knew that victory and that celebration was coming, I knew that we were going to be landing in Psalm 95 last week. You know, we land on scriptures, we pray ahead of time, and we land on the word that we're going to deliver from week to week. And so we knew pretty far out that we were going to be landing on Psalm 95, but we didn't have a clue about the context that Psalm 95 was going to take on for us in light of the news that I was going to share with you last Sunday. And so what I want to do just real quick is I want to take you back to these words. We heard them in the call of worship earlier. But I want to take you back to these words from Psalm 95. The writer says, "The Lord is the great God. He's the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. So come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." And here's the part, here's the kicker. "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." And so if you were here last Sunday, or you have viewed that message, you know that's where we left off last Sunday with that proclamation. He's our God, and we are his people. We are the flock under his care. And so it's very fitting then that for us, we just kind of bleed right into Psalm 23 today. This is the psalm of the lectionary teaching for us today. And so we were supposed to have the African Children's Choir here with us today. They had to cancel their tour for a while, so we prayed for them. But as I went to the lectionary, we saw that Psalm 23 was staring us in the face. And so here we are, going to open up to a very familiar passage this morning. You know, Psalm 23 is one of the most beloved pieces of literature in the entire world. And for many of us as followers of Christ, it's probably a close second in terms of familiarity to us, and probably just a close second to John 3:16 and 17. John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whosoever believes in him would not perish but would have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved." Now, I memorized those two verses when I was a kid, and I can tell you that today as a 42-year-old, those words mean more to me today as a 42-year-old than they ever did as a kid, as I've grown into understanding about what Jesus has done for me. And I think the same could be said for the 23rd Psalm. You know, many of us in times of grief, in times of loss, in times of death, go to the 23rd Psalm because we know that in the 23rd Psalm, we're going to be told something about the character and the nature of God. And so last week we ended with these words, "We are the people of his pasture, we are the flock under his care," and today we're going to jump right into Psalm 23. I want you to hear right here from the NIV version. Here's what the writer says. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And here's the thing, despite the comfort that I seek when I read these words out of Psalm 23, and despite our love for this psalm, the writer is very honest about the fact that life takes us through dark and dangerous valleys. And often in those valleys, we experience pain, we experience loss, we experience fear. And I don't know about you this morning, Centerpoint, but I, just to be honest with you, sometimes my valleys are too dark for me to navigate on my own. Sometimes my fear is too painful for me to handle in my own strength. Sometimes the enemy is too powerful for me to take down on my own. And one of the things I wanted to ask you this morning, Centerpoint, is do you know a valley like that? Do you know a dark valley? Do you know an overwhelming fear? Do you know an enemy that is too strong, too dark, too overwhelming, too powerful for you to handle in your own strength? My guess is that this morning, each and every one of us know what those valleys look like. We know what those valleys feel like. We know what it means to go through the valley of the shadow of death and darkness. So this week I was doing devotions with my girls, and I opened up Avery's devotional book to the section on fear. I said, I want to see what this kid's devotional has to say about fear. And so we opened up, and sure enough, there were three different devotionals on fear. And I said, man, we're in a time like no other time. I'm going to take these girls through the gamut of fear as it relates to this devotional. And so open up this devotional, and we do this thing when we do devotions together. We'll do the devotion and then ask the girls questions along the way. And on this particular night, I had asked Andy and Avery some questions, and Mia was feeling left out. And Mia kind of popped up, you know, and she said, Daddy, you haven't asked me anything. I said, Mia, I'm coming. And so along the way, we started talking about fear. We started talking about what it means to live in fear, but what it also means to live with the presence of God next to us. And so sure enough, I got to the end of this devotional time together, and we were getting ready to pray, and I was going to try to bring it all together. And I said, you know, I said, guys, when we're sad, you know, when we're mad, when we're lonely, when we're scared, when we're angry, when we're fearful, I said, girls, I just want you to know that God is with us. He's walking right there with us, even when we feel that way. We don't have to be afraid because we know that God is near. Mia had laid back down, but when I said that God is near, we don't have to be afraid. Mia popped up. She's 5 years old. She popped up and she chimed in and she said, and Daddy, God is with us even when we don't have anybody to play with. That just struck my heart. Because the truth is, it's sobering for me to think about how our different places in life take us to our own different levels of darkness and despair. You see, I'm pretty convinced that Mia doesn't really have a clue about what's going on in the wider world around us right now. She knows that she's not going to go to school for a while. She probably hasn't picked up on the fact that we really haven't gone anywhere lately. Maybe she knows there's a little more food in the fridge than there normally is, but she doesn't really know what's going on in the world around us, but she's able to link into the darkness that she would experience even as a 5-year-old. And my guess is that regardless of how old we are, we can articulate what the valley of darkness would look like for each of us. And the truth is that many of us, we were walking a valley of darkness before the coronavirus ever even hit. You see, I could preach this same message today with the idea of the coronavirus not even on the market, not even on our platform. I could stand up here today and proclaim this idea of valleys of darkness related to broken relationship or sickness or suffering or death or strained finances or fears about the future or job security and hopes for the future that are just spread a little too thin right now. And so it's in the midst of our circumstances that were already in place that the reality of the world around us right now comes crashing in. And so the writer starts with this proclamation in light of his own circumstances. Starts with this proclamation is simply this: the Lord is my shepherd. I want you to do something with me, parents. I want you to help kids out right now. But I want you to do this with me. Everybody, I just want you to take your left hand, and I want you to just put it up in front of you. Make a five in front of you. You see, this is the proclamation of the day. If you don't hear anything else today, I want you to hear and know and live into this proclamation, okay? So what we're going to do first is we're going to take this five-word proclamation. We're going to start with our thumb, the. There's a very emphatic the here in Psalm 23. And secondly, the Lord. So the Lord. And when I think about the reality in the index finger, many of us make the number one with our index finger. We do other things with our index finger, but we're not going to talk about that right now. Well, the Lord is number one. You have no other gods before me. Bow and serve me only. And so the Lord is my. Now, for those of us that are married, when we look at the ring finger and we say the word my, the Lord is my, we see a very personal image there. When I look at my ring finger, I see my wedding band. I'm reminded of my commitment to my wife, my love for my wife, my trust in my wife, and it's very personal. And center point, I want you to remember today that as you take on the Lord as your shepherd, as you make this proclamation, the Lord is my shepherd, it's personal. The writer in Psalm 23 is writing from a standpoint of a personal testimony given to the larger church based on the circumstances. So here we go. Put your hands back up. The Lord is my shepherd. The last finger, the pinky finger, it's not only the smallest, but it's also at the end. And the proclamation that we have in this very simple exercise is simply this, is that the Lord is number one, but the Lord is a very personal God to us. The Lord walks with us in a very personal way, and the Lord is our shepherd. And guess what's important? The shepherd will be there through all of life, even at the endings of life. Whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is you're walking through, the Lord is our shepherd. And so here's what happens in Psalm 23. The writer takes this five-word proclamation, and he basically runs the gamut of that proclamation. And here's what happens is we have this poem that's been given to us, but it's kind of a conversational poem, as if one sheep were having a conversation with another sheep, a friend of his, and they're comparing notes about their different shepherds. And so we have this image of this sheep who's having a conversation with another sheep, but he's bragging about his shepherd. You know, we're taught as kids, don't brag. I mean, the last thing any parent wants to have is a kid who brags about anything, especially if you acknowledge that everything you have is a gift from God. You don't want your kids running around bragging about things they have or things they do. But there's one area where bragging absolutely is okay. And it's when we start to brag on who God is. Psalm 23, if I can rearrange this poetry for us, Psalm 23 is a bragging session on the love and the faithfulness of God. And so I kind of picture in my mind, I kind of picture this sheep kind of pulling in close and saying, Dwayne, come here. Man, I want to tell you about my shepherd. Let me tell you about my shepherd is the one who looks after me. Did you know my shepherd takes care of me? My shepherd makes it so that I can lie down and sleep and rest in safety. Yeah, I don't worry about predators. I don't worry about the things of the world coming in on me. When I lay my head down on my pillow at night, I know that I rest in the comfort and the presence of my shepherd. And you know what else? Hey, Dwayne, my shepherd guides me to still, quiet waters. And when I get to those still, quiet waters, you know what I do? I get to drink. I get to be refreshed. I get nourishment for my soul. I'm never thirsty. I'm never in need. I'm never in want because I trust my shepherd to guide and direct me. And here's the thing. Dwayne, my shepherd doesn't go out ahead of me. For some of us, this is going to challenge our view and our image of God. But the sheep pulls in close and the sheep says, Wayne, my shepherd doesn't go out ahead of me, leaving me behind so that I'm trying to catch up. Dwayne, my shepherd walks beside me. Dwayne, my shepherd guides me with his voice, and I'm so close to my shepherd that I'm able to watch his steps. I'm able to go with him, and along the way, my shepherd corrects me. My shepherd guides me. My shepherd shows me the path that I should take. Center point, one of the greatest images I've seen about modern-day shepherds is not the image of the shepherd that is walking down the path with a string of sheep following behind him. When you look at many images of modern day shepherds, what you see is you see a flock that's gathered around in a circle or an oval with a shepherd in the middle who's walking along, and the sheep are listening to his voice. The sheep knows that the shepherd has taken them to high ground, to green pastures, to quiet waters, and the sheep hear his voice and they go with them. Not a shepherd who's so far out ahead of us that we don't know the way. We serve a God who is in the midst of whatever those valleys of darkness are. But at this point in the psalm, here's what happens. The image changes and the language changes. This was new to me, honestly, until I got into this thing over the last week and a half. But up until this point, we have this image of a shepherd. But here's what happens is the language changes at this point from the idea of the Lord being a shepherd to the idea of the Lord being a host. A host as in you're a guest in someone's home. You're a guest at someone else's party. You're a guest in someone else's environment. And there's this gracious host who has not only invited you in, has welcomed you in, and is taking very good care of you. And so now we move away from a bragging session about a shepherd to now we're talking about a bragging session about a gracious host. Hey, Dwayne, you won't believe this. When I'm at their house, I have food to eat. Even when my enemies are surrounded, when people are scowling at me and looking down at me and talking about me, I can feel the presence of my host, and he cares for me. He feeds me. He nourishes me. He fills me up with his presence to the point of overflowing. And when I trust my shepherd, when I depend on my host, I experience all the goodness and love that my shepherd and that my host have to offer. Even when I experience the darkness around me, even when I feel the fear inside of me, even when I see the enemy moving against me, I know that my shepherd, I know that my host holds me in his hand and he holds my future. Center point, it's no mistake that the 23rd Psalm has been a foundational proclamation for the people of God for thousands and thousands of years. Many of whom have gone through times like ours, but also many of whom have gone through times much darker, much deeper than ours. And so this morning we get to rest in the proclamation of those who have gone before us, who have proclaimed faith and trust in a shepherd who cares for them and a host who sets a table before them. Friends, God has our best in mind. Center point, God has your best in mind. We follow him. We rest in him. We go with him because we trust him. And when we trust him, he takes us to green pastures. When we trust him, he takes us to still, quiet waters. When we trust him, he leads us even through valleys of darkness. But even there, we know we can trust him. He has our safety. He has our strength. He has a hope for our future. And we can trust him. And I can't help this morning but take this image of the shepherd from Psalm 23, tie it to the gospel. Friends, in the Gospel of John, Jesus Christ is referred to as the Good Shepherd. The Gospel of John says that Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd of all who follow him. Jesus knows his sheep, and his sheep know him because they know his voice. A good shepherd cares for his sheep and will even risk his life to protect them. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he gave his life to protect us against the ill effects of sin and against the eternal death that a self-centered life can bring us. And so I wanted to tell you today, center point, Jesus is still inviting people just like us to come to him. And so here's the thing. Maybe you're here today and you've heard this invitation 1,000 times, or maybe you're watching online today and this will be the first time you've ever heard this invitation of Jesus. Either way, I hope you will not only hear this invitation, but that you will live into it. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says these words, and I can't think of more fitting words for us today in light of where we are as a country, in light of where we are as a world. And in Matthew 11, Jesus gives us this invitation. He says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Friends, my hope for us in the darkness of this valley is that through a posture of trust in Jesus Christ, we will enter into a new season of rest, a new season of reflection, and a new season of response. Center point, we can trust in our shepherd, so let's rest in him. Center point, we can trust in our shepherd, so let's reflect on how he's calling us to this time to better reflect the image of his son, Jesus. Center point, we can trust in our shepherd. And we know that when we trust in our shepherd, we lack nothing. So let's give generously to those who are in need around us. And so I want to encourage you today, center point, for today and however long this crisis may last, let's embrace this break from activity. Let's embrace this break from hyper-scheduled, over-scheduled calendars and days. Let's embrace the rest that he has for us, for our bodies and our minds and our souls, and let's rest in him. We can trust him. We can trust him to be going and doing and moving even when we are resting. The secondly, center point, I want to challenge you to this. Let's enter into a new season of prayer and reflection that allows us to hear the voice of the shepherd in a new way. It could be that your life has taken you down a path as of late where the shepherd hasn't wandered off the path, but maybe we've wandered off the path a little bit. This is a great day. This is a great time to be reminded of the loving care of the shepherd, that we could trust him and to come back into his flock. And so today, may we enter into a new time of prayer, a new season of reflection, so that we can hear his voice. And center point, I hope that along the way, I hope and pray that we will discover new and creative ways to be the church, and in being the church in new and creative ways, we'll be able to care for the needs of the world around us. That we can care for the needs of the world around us as Christ has cared for us. Center point, if the Lord truly is our shepherd, we lack nothing. If the Lord is truly our shepherd, we have in him all we need, all we could ever want. We have in him a wellspring of life and nourishment and grace and goodness and love and mercy. And center point, if we've been blessed in any way with the presence of God, we've been blessed to be a blessing. As we close out this morning, I want to tell you just a quick little story. One of the go-to scriptures of memorial services and celebrations of life, one of the go-to scriptures of graveside services and bedsides where people are suffering or nearing the end of life is Psalm 23. And the truth is that even in a world like ours, these words are beloved not only by church people and followers of Christ. These words are beloved by folks who don't belong to a church body, don't follow Christ, because there's great comfort and consolation in these words. Well, I learned a trick a long time ago that one of my mentors showed me, and so I'm going to make a confession to you this morning. When I read Psalm 23 earlier from the NIV, I didn't actually read it from my physical Bible, even though it's an NIV. And I didn't read it from here because of one of two reasons. Number one is I have a flap in my Bible. Looks like this. Here's what it is. It's Psalm 23, But it's taped over Psalm 23 in my Bible, and the flap is Psalm 23 from the King James Version. You see, this is the version that we love to hear. This is the version that gives us the most comfort. It's the version that many people grew up hearing. I even had today, when reading the NIV, I had to remind myself to read and not go off memory. But one of the other reasons that I didn't read from my Bible is because I've gone into my scripture, and I've replaced all the personal pronouns in Psalm 23 to make them plural. You see, now Psalm 23 was a personal testimony from a writer to his congregation, to his assembly. But I can't help but hear these words when I read Psalm 23 from the standpoint of us as a gathered community, even though we can't be together. And so, center point, before we close out in prayer, I want you to hear Psalm 23 two more times. I want you to hear it in the plural, and I want you to hear it from the King James Version. So here we go. The King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then I want you to hear it in the plural from the NIV. May this be our proclamation center point, moving forward as a church body, despite the absence, despite the social distancing, may we gather and be unified around the proclamation of this word: the Lord is our shepherd. We lack nothing. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. He refreshes our souls. He guides us along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though we walk through the valley of darkness, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our heads with oil. Our cups overflow. Surely your goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Centerpoint, is so good to be together this morning. We're going to continue to walk this journey together, but my hope is for you that from this day forward, you'll be able to trust in the fact that the Lord is your shepherd. He's with you today. He'll be with you to the end. And we get to take this journey together as we trust our shepherd. Amen? Let's pray together. God, thanks so much, God, for the opportunity to be together today. Thanks for the truth of your word. God, I pray that despite challenges of technology, I pray that despite the distance, I pray that despite the valleys that we are walking through right now as a people, God, that the proclamation of this truth will shine forth, and on the other side of this thing, God, we will have drawn so close to you. We will trust you more. We will rely on you more. We will depend on you more. God, I pray that through this season, however this time lasts, however long we can't gather according to what has been normal, God, that we will rest in you, God, that we will take advantage of a break from activity and rest in you, knowing we can trust you. God, that also we'll find new ways to reflect, Lord, in prayer, in conversation with others. And God, that ultimately we'll be able to respond to the needs of those around us. So God, I pray for my friends right now, online, wherever they are, in whatever sacred space that they've set aside, Lord, I pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would be at work in their homes. God, for safety, for joy, for peace. And God, we echo the prayer that Pastor Alyssa prayed earlier, that the healing power of your Holy Spirit would make its way across our world, God, to do away with the coronavirus. God, we pray today for medical professionals and first responders, for nurses and aides, for leaders and government officials. God, we pray that you would give each and every one of them energy and strength beyond what they've ever experienced, God, that they would have wisdom beyond their experiences, and they would be able to lead and love and serve in ways they never thought they could. God, bless those today that are hurting. Heal those today that are sick. And God, thank you that we can come to you in times like these. We trust you, Lord. Thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you for being our host. Thank you for guiding us in your ways. We love you today. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. It's a center point. Continue to go now in the peace of Christ, and may the peace of Christ go with you all along the way of life. Friends, take time in these days to rest in Him, to reflect on your own life, and to respond to the needs of the world around you. You are loved. You'll hear from us this week, and we'll be right back here at 10:30 next Sunday morning. God bless you.